Lincoln. Jehovah Lincoln. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done. We reach this period now in the history of the 14th of Israel, and he's getting ready to destroy their temple. And the destruction of their temple will be an act of judgment. Sunday night, we've been seeing the references to the temple in the New Testament, and there are many of them. We've seen the passages where Jesus taught in the temple. So when you turn to the Old Testament, my beloved, you've just got the temple everywhere. From the time that the children of Israel went out of Egypt and camped in Mount Sinai, and God gave them the tabernacle, God dwelt in their midst, in that tabernacle, all through those years. The years of wandering in the wilderness. Then when they came into the land of Canaan, David wanted to build a house, a permanent house, for the Lord. Solomon was the one that was permitted to build it, and then you have the invasion of the kingdom following the death of Solomon. And then you have the kings of Judah and Jerusalem, and the sequence of their activities and relationships to the temple. So finally, God brought Nebuchadnezzar in, destroyed the city, burned the city, destroyed the temple. And they were carried off for 70 years in captivity in Babylon. Then they came back as a result of the decree of Cyrus and under the leadership of Zerubbabel, and they rebuilt the temple, and we call it the Zerubbabel temple, or the poor temple. That didn't have too much gold. It was rebuilt at that time. Now the period that we're touching on right now is immediately before the destruction of the temple. 70 years while they were in captivity. And then the decree of Cyrus that they could come back and rebuild it. And here in Ezra, you have the account of the rebuilding of the temple. Now before we develop it and see the sequence of it, I'd like to make one or two general statements for you about God in relationship to judgment. We're constantly saying, I am, that the truth of all Christianity is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That's our number one evidence that everything is true. Christ was raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power. Everything you do goes on the resurrection of the dead because he lives here. Here's life. Here's the joy of our salvation. This is the evidence that there's a God of mercy. This is the evidence that there's a God of grace. This is the evidence that there's a God of love. He loves his children and gave his son. And we're constantly emphasizing that. We preach it all the time. Christ died, rose again, Thursday, according to Scripture. But what is the big evidence that God is a God of judgment? What is the one great thing that stands out in the Bible that God is a God of wrath? God punishes man. What is the great evidence of that? Above everything else, what is it that stands out? We have no doubt about what stands out when it comes to salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised you from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that's the way you and I became saved. We believed and we found Christ and he's alive and we're his children and we're trying tonight. What is the great evidence? What is the great testimony of Scripture? That God is a God of judgment. Is it the destruction of the temple? God is a God of judgment. Because that temple he told you were going to go and they didn't come back. And that temple, the destruction of that temple, stands as a mute, silent witness for all mankind. God punishes his people when they turn away. Well, what am I talking about? What am I getting at? What is this supremeness? Well, would you say it's the testimony that God destroyed the city, it was this city, the holy city? Yes, God destroyed the holy city. He destroyed it. All the things of peace. Nebuchadnezzar came in and everything was completely out. And then tonight again. the great evidence that God is a God of wrath? No, it is not. It is one of them. It's a great singular evidence. It's one of them. And undoubtedly it's a singular testimony. God destroyed his temple. He says that they both destroyed the city. It's a bad city. And these are all, he said, I'm going to do it. He warned them ever since the day he spoke to Moses. He kept telling them that they did this. They did this. But what am I talking about? What am I telling you? What do you think is the greatest supreme evidence that God is a God of death? Are you thinking about the exile or the servant Israel who carried off into Egyptian or into Babylonian bondage? No, that's not it. That's one of them. That's evidence of it. Are you thinking about the fact that God told servant Israel they would be dispersed among the nations and they'd become a byword and they'd suffer? That's not it. That's one of them. Beloved, there are many, many evidences in the scriptures that God judges iniquity. But I want to lay before you today the supreme, the one that stands out about every other judgment that God pronounced. It is death. Death. Some of you already knew I will not be. That's it. The wages is death. And God is the God who pays his wages. Every one of us are actually, every one of us is going to go through the door of death. Every one of us prays, but for us being believers, the door of death has been changed in the dimension of the presence of the Lord. But the supreme testimony on the face of this earth, that God is a God of judgment and wrath. And the pointed and most significant manifestation of that death is the death of God. The Lord laid on him the iniquity. He died on. He died in our place. So, beloved, we're dealing with life, the gift of God. We're dealing with death, the judgment. And in the emphasis that we have, we're constantly talking about the resurrection, the resurrection, the resurrection. The great evidence of Christianity is true. But my beloved, the great evidence that God is real, that God has condemned iniquity, is every human with respect to the kingdom. The only way to get out from under it, the only way to be delivered from it, is to flee to Calvary and find the covering that God has for us in the blood and the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Now, once you understand that God judges sin, and it will be the sin of my country, your pastor and all of his church, your pastor and all of his church, your pastor and all of his God, and we're all there. But that was intended over my country today. And we're seeing some of the evidence of the impending disaster that's ahead of us as things are unfolding. And our people, and the Christian people, must be able to discern these things in history and in the times that are taking place at the present time.
Look at a fashion like this, and you'll get a picture.
destruction to it. And let them deliver it under the hands of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. For they let the house fall in some kind of disrepair. Under the carpenters and the builders, the masons, to buy timber and hew stone to repair the house. Oh, Josiah said, we're going to repair the house. It's gone into all sorts of things that you'll see in just a few minutes. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hands, because they dealt faithfully. And Josiah, the priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. This is the picture. They went in there, and Josiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read. Now we have the story of how finding this law, finding the book of the law, in the midst of all the debris that it gathered. So now take the law, and they returned to verse 11. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he lay close. And the king commanded Josiah the priest, then he goes on to all the others here, he says, go ye, inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord. Great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. We won't turn by the rain back in school. Our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Then turn to verse 15. Then he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, God, tell the man that sent you unto me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and on the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah had read, because they have forsaken me. Now let's read. And burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the rest of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. God's getting ready to destroy them. But the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, has sent you the words that thou hast heard, because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place. What I spake against this place? Certainly was a prophecy fulfilled. And against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and have rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto my fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. I'm going to go during your marriage. I'm not going to condemn this place and destroy it while you're here, Joseph. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil that I will bring upon thee. So fire your breath upon me. I shall have mercy to you, and not because you sinned, and because you turned, I'm going to pronounce my judgment, but it's going to be delayed until after you're gone. That's what God's promise. Beloved, I don't hesitate to tell you from this pulpit that it's ministry strength that we have here, and the ministry that the Bible believing people in this country that are going to hold back and delay the impending judgment. That's part of the impact and the effect that we're having at the present time. All right, now we move on down. Verse 20, chapter 23. And the king sent and gathered to him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, which was a temple. All the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem were sitting, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that are written in this book. Now those folks will listen to hear the reckoning. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for today. You mean to say that in this holy temple is your ultimate power to save? Just for the Lord God of Israel, that they brought in some vessels so that Baal could have a share in it? You know what this is? This was the exclusive power. This is the exclusive power that was room for the viewpoints of Baal in the temple. Look at that. He drew Baal in the sun, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven, and he burned them without counsel in the field of Kedron. Then they put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah and in the places around about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planet, and to the hope of heaven. He brought out the gold from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem under the foot of the temple, burned it at the foot of the temple. And in small power, he cast a powder arrow from the great of the temple. And he broke down the houses of the sodomites. He got a portion now, but we're by the house of the Lord. Talk about the corruption and the perversion of the morality that's surrounding us. Some funny things to get up and speak about and expose it. For the London Wall hanging to the door. And let me go on with all the rest. Now we turn to verse 15. And he broke in pieces and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. For all the altar was at Bethel, and the high place before Jerob was Jeroboam, the temple of the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin had made. Both that altar and the high places he break down, and burned the high place, and stamped it all to power. Burned low. Josiah turned himself. Five the prophecies of the balls into the whitest prophecies of all things put about the mouth, and took the bones out of the prophecy and burned them upon the altars and pleaded with it, according to the word of God, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed his word. Then he said, what title is that for that? All right, now go over to chapter 23, verse 21, and we'll restore the Passover. And we have in verse 23, but in the 18th year, a single file wherein the Passover was holding it to the Lord of Jerusalem, turned over the workers with familiar spirits and the workers. This is the spiritism that's sweeping South America. This is the spiritism that we're reading so much about here today. In our own time. Now verse 26. Marvelous time when the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, the enemy's anger was kindled against Judah. Because of all the provocations that men have done, and before him stood on. And the Lord said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I have removed Israel, and will cast off this city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house of which I sent my name shall be the house. And that was kind of desperate to say. Now after Josiah, we have a series of kings, of course, one after another, and all they did was cause Israel. I know this chapter 23, verse 34, and Pharaoh, Necho made Eliakim, the son of Josiah, king in the room of Josiah, in the place of his father, and turned his name to Jehoiakim, and he took Jehoaz away, and he came to Egypt and died there. And Jehoiakim gave the silver and the gold to Pharaoh, but he taxed the land to give money according to the commandment of Pharaoh. He exacted the silver and the gold of the people of the land, of everyone according to his taxation. In other words, they paid tribute now to Pharaoh. They've fallen down. Beloved, we're getting in a position now where we're ready to pay tribute to some of these powers. We're moving into that position as a nation. Now chapter 24. In his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant for a year. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And then verse 6, we read, and Jehoiakim slept with his fathers, and Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. And the king of Egypt came not any more out of the land, for the king of Babylon had taken from the river of Egypt unto the river Euphrates all that pertained in the king of Egypt. And Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he began to reign. Verse 9, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. There's your story.